Blog Talk Radio.
Buddy, this is Jim Byrne from Killer Bees Barbecue down here at Evans, Georgia. We've got a really good show tonight talking about taking care of business and hanging around friends that's going to do you right. This past weekend, one of my sponsors, Southern Q Smokers, with Scott Smith from Q and Stew and the Bruins, took a grand championship in Dalton, Georgia. The reserve grand was Mike with Old Plantation Barbecue. Tim Thomas, another builder of the pits, who's actually the TNT that I cook on, was actually sixth overall. I think they took four or five out of the top 10 spots in that contest. The weekend before, TNT or Southern Q Smokers took first and second in the Lions, the Real Squeal contest, where Killer Bees won grand champion, and Mike's Mole Plantation Barbecue took another reserve grand. Let you all know the quality of these smokers that they produce. They're very forgiving. They let you get sleep at night. They're very energy saving as far as charcoal and everything. So you need to check them out, Southern Q Smokers. Also, I want to give a shout-out to a new sponsor I have, Butcher Barbecue. David Buska came on board. And, you know, the old saying goes, you always want to trust your butcher, so... I'm going to tell you what, if you call, you will actually get David on the phone, and he's forgotten more in 1 year in about meat than I have learned in my whole life. This man knows his stuff, and if you ever need any help, any seasonings, rubs, injections, go talk to him, get you some. We're going to be, Killer Bees will be a distributor for his product, and we'll be taking them to the contest that we enter. And you'll be able to purchase them at the contest, of course, at a discounted rate. But we're just trying to get the product out, let people try it, win with it, and you won't be sorry. You need to give it a shot. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills, another sponsor. They have quality grills, and they carry a lot of the competition rubs and sauces and injections down there. If you ever walk into just a normal fireplace, grill store, You go back in the back corner, you see all the trophies up there. You see all the competition rubs like Dizzy Pig. You see Smoking Guns. You see Butt Rub. You see Cimarron Dock. You see Butchers. You see all these Plowboys, Smoking Coals. All these top-notch rubs are sitting right there on this shelf for you to buy. You don't have to order online. You can have it in your hand right then and there. Of course, it's got all the really good utensils you need to cook championship barbecue and also the grills. It carries the Memphis Smokers, which are the pellet smokers. It carries all sorts of other type grills, the Green Eggs, the Kamado Grill. Very, very unique store. Carries a lot of stuff that you can use for competition. Also, it has some big stick burners down there. Very well made. And then I want to give a shout out to Joey Haddon from Phoenix Printing for doing all my printing and emblems and design work and everything on the side of my trailer. Give a shout out to him. Also to Royal Oak, probably my best sponsor that I have so far. They support me every which way they can and haven't been sorry. They got quality charcoal, got a reasonable price. If you try them, you won't go anywhere else. A lot of teams use their product on the circuit, and it works very well. The new briquette lump that they have works very well in these gravity-fed smokers. So if you got a gravity-fed smoker or even a Green Egg, the lump that's in briquette form works very, very well. Low ash, high heat, you can control it really nice. So if you give it a shot, you won't be sorry. And I also want to give a shout-out to a buddy of mine, Dale Wilson, from Pirate 50s, the trophies and custom artwork and everything that he does. I'm going to tell you what, this guy has got talent that you won't find anywhere else. This man can design anything you want. He'll come off the top of his head, one of a kind designs. His trophies are matched by none other. He's gone as far as out of Oklahoma to do contests and stuff. If y'all have a contest coming up, need to give old Dale a call. If you want some unique trophies at a reasonable price, need to give him a call. He'll hook you up. He also does metal signs that goes on the side of the trailers or the back of the trailers on smokers, and also what we call the sight signs. He designed several in Georgia, really all over the country, come think of it now. And they're unique. They're one of a kind. They have your logo, and he cuts them out almost like a 3D, and very, very well made. Very nice to have around the pit. It's a very nice product that you sit around and you talk about. People come up and ask, hey, where did you get this? But now you know, Pirate 50, custom trophies and artwork, he'll hook you up. So we've got some other another guest coming on the show tonight, Brad Kay from Lang Smokers. He went up to Munfordville, Kentucky, and took his first ever KCBS Grand Championship up there, and had a lot of good teams. Durag Barbecue, you had Warren County Pork Choppers and several others up there, and he came out on top. I think he was tickled to death. I asked him, he was driving down to Dalton for the doubleheader, and I said, he's driving, he said he thinks he's floating. So we all know we can always remember our first Grand Championship. So hats off to Brad Kay, and congratulations to him for his first ever KCBS Grand Championship. As the old thing goes, that's my boy out there. He's put in his time and hard work and everything, and he says now it's paying off. I think he finished up fifth in Dalton this past weekend, which is another good showing when you do a doubleheader. He had the first in chicken and first in ribs in both contests on the same weekend. Pretty impressive stats right there. So hopefully he'll continue his winning ways, but hopefully not against us. But, you know, if he does, he does. We know we've been beaten by a good team, so, you know, we're not putting past him. Anything else? Because I know we've got the National Barbecue Cup coming up in 3-4 weeks, I believe. That's a big competition in Cummins, Georgia. Randall Bowman's putting that on. That's an awesome event. They expect anywhere between 120 to 150 pro teams and they're cutting the backyard teams off at 50, and I think 2 weeks ago you already had like 38. So it's a really nice venue, a big venue. They take care of you. They've got every amenity you can think of there, and they really look out for the cookers, and it's also got a really high payout on it. So need to check it out if you're looking for something to do around the 16th or 17th of November. Hey, drive the extra mile and come over there, man. It is a huge and wonderful event. You're going to see the who's who of barbecue there. So I also want to plug in, Shelby is changing their event site. We don't know where it's going to be at, but Shelby's going to be changing the event site. We've also got the World Food Championships coming up. They will be November 1st through 4th, I think. Killer Bees was invited and signed up, but we will have to graciously pass on that. We just cannot come up with the funding to make it out there. And we have other ventures that we want to go around to. And so we won't be making it out there to go do that. So anybody who's going out there, y'all have a safe trip and everything. Be careful, and, you know, hopefully you'll be the last one called. We have our first caller of the night. It's a 111111 number. Hello, who do we have? Hello?
It's Brad.
Hey, Brad. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine, bro. I'm doing just fine.
That's good. So, that took me back. You came by the house on, I guess, Wednesday. You came by and, you know, hooked up with a couple of Wagyu briskets and the firewood. So, obviously, you did pretty well this past weekend.
Yes, I did. Yeah, we finally connected all the dots, I guess. And, you know, we've been working hard on chicken, and we've done pretty well on ribs. I've been doing the same thing on ribs for a while, but I've been playing with some different rubs and sauces on my chicken. And, you know, I contacted David, and I got some butcher products from him, and I actually got that in Thursday night about 6:30. You know, I owe a lot to Lang Smokers. They've taken great care of me and put me in a lot of places that I wouldn't have been normally. They help me out every week. You know, hopefully on Butcher's Barbecue, I'm going to have their products with me every week. And hopefully we'll be right up there with them. But, you know, a special thanks to you, Jim. I mean, I've been burning your wood, you know, all year. If I ever need anything, you know, I know I can always come to you. And we had a real stellar weekend, but, you know, if it wasn't for you, it wouldn't have been near stellar. So, I mean, really, thank you very much for everything you've done for us. You've done a lot.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, you get in a group of guys and you kind of help one another out, watch each other's back. And, you know, you want to see your really good friends do really well. And without giving up too much, but you know it's just part of barbecue. I mean, there's several other people that do it for other people, and I'm not gonna say take people on the wing because you've been doing this longer than I have. But I think as far as KCBS, you know, sometimes you kind of get out of off track just a little bit, and it's good to talk to somebody. You know, won't feed you a bunch of crap that you know will try to get you back up on track. And then, you know, it's up to you to, you know, you still have to cook the meat properly. You still have to trim it properly. You still have to present it properly. So, you know, I didn't do a whole lot, but I'm glad it helped you, get through the little, the little swell you were in. But now you're climbing up on top, and, you know, I'm happy for you. I really am. I think Jan was, she was pretty much ecstatic that you won. So, she was really, really happy. She just wanted me to let you know that. She was if she was there, she would have screamed. I know that.
Yeah, I wish I would have been there. We got some beautiful cutting boards designed by an artist named Jesse James. They're from the area, from Unfordville. And it was this is my first, doubleheader weekend as far as, you know, having to travel in between the events there. And That was a long ride, you know, after brisket turn in, clean everything up and get everything on the way down there. And it was But I look forward to it, and it was a really good field down there also. We only had 25 teams, but there was, you know, where you looked, you had a lot of top cookers there, and, you know, Q and Stewart and Bruin was there with Old Plantation right beside them, I believe, and they're just real strong cooks, and had Getter smoked, and Pit Bulls up in smoke, and had Jared, and it was good to get back with everybody. I didn't really know anybody up in Kentucky, hardly.
Yeah, you had South Fork, and you had, like I said, BBQ. Jared was cooking up there, I guess. And, you know, you had some really good teams up there. I mean, it was, you had Blue Sky BBQ. Was Curly Tails up there?
No.
Okay. But, you had a really strong field up there.
Yeah, and, it was good. I knew most of them. It was up in Kentucky. I made some really good neighbors with a team called Slow Smoke and BBQ. They were right next to me. They were real nice to us. And but I didn't really know a whole lot of teams up there in Kentucky. It was nice to pull up in Dalton. And, you know, I pretty much knew everybody. Hoggy Bottom Boys, they were up from Florida. And Terry McKay from Getter Smoke pulled in very last. But we actually pulled in at the same time. It was about 10:30. And Terry didn't even have any meat. So, you know, they actually went and bought meat. I think he was on his way to coming to they're wrapping trailers today. And, Moyer's Competition Barbecue. He was set up right beside us this weekend. I believe he was the guitarist for a band called Lone Star at one time. He's got Jamie Gear's old pit, and he's got Jamie's trailer also. So
yeah, he was up in Rowland, I believe.
Hey, he's a great guy. He had a 2,000 watt Yamaha sound system out there too. And
imagine.
Old Southport got to dancing Saturday Sunday morning, and we had a real good time.
Yeah, Southport with Suzanne and Scott, their trip, they're a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah. But, we got to hang out with Danny a good bit this weekend too. Him and Rebecca was there. We had a little corner. It was on the end of Martin Luther King Street, and right in front of the courthouse. Set up right in front of the courthouse. We had a large time.
Well, that's good.
I almost won that thing too, man. They call out chicken, you know, first place chicken again. You know, I was ecstatic. And, you know, they call out second. They call it ribs, of course, and had first place ribs also. And I was sitting there. I was like, oh no, I didn't. Well, we came in fifth overall. Our pork tanked, and you know, congratulations, Q and Stewart and Bruin. You know, I knew I was going to have all four categories really, really, really together. You know, a 25-team field like that. And I didn't get the job done with my pork. My pork son.
Scott's pretty.
Judge number five's fault. Judge number five lost the contest.
Well, see, the way I looked at it was when I got 180 in brisket last week, and the way I looked at it, well, the judges finally judged it for what it was worth.
That's finally right.
Got it right. After all these contests, they finally got it right. I mean, Scott, he's on the other line for Q and Stu and Bruin. I mean, he's gotten so many 180s, especially in brisket. I don't know how many he's got, but you know, he's a tough cook. It doesn't matter what part of the country he's in, he's a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he'll travel to Mississippi in a heartbeat. You know, he'll go up to Michigan, or I think he did one somewhere up in Maine this year. So he's got family that lives all around, so he goes and visits them, and you know, does competitions on the way, works in the competition on vacation and stuff. So, but man, that was really, really good of you. You know, I had Tony doing a South Carolina event this past week in my form, and I drove my trailer. I was taking a weekend off and had to finish these damn hardwood floors and all this other crap. So I'm going to put some pictures on Facebook. I did a damn good job on them, but I tell you what, I'm too old for this crap. My knees, back, everything, man, I was aching. I mean, it's different if you do it for a living. You're kind of used to it. But I tell you what, man, those muscles I ain't used in years. And but my hat's off to Gary Lanton for doing this stuff day in and day out. I give him credit on that. He's got me there. And he's actually up in Memphis this week, or this past weekend, I think, was doing a charity cook up there at St. Jude for the hospital up there. So, you know, we don't just compete. We're not just a bunch of traveling gypsies every weekend. So we actually do some things with communities and stuff. So, I'm glad you made it back safe and, you know, made you a little money. Saturday night when I was talking to you, you were on cloud nine. So, you know, it'll start sinking in this week.
Yeah, it's so hard to go to sleep that night too. I prepped my pork and my briskets and my ribs when I got there Saturday night, and there was a hotel half a mile up the street, and I went there to try to go to sleep. And it's kind of hard to go to sleep. Just checking the forums, seeing who all was talking about it, and all the other good stuff, you know.
I'm gonna get Scott on the line here from TNT. I'm sure y'all got some common interest in the Dalton contest. So Scott, how you doing, man?
Yeah. Ask him about his private bathroom ahead for him.
Yeah, I got caught with that, didn't I? I got Michael Moore, the guy that reserved behind you, Jim, last week, and he reserved behind me this week. He's going to call in shortly. Tim's got a customer in their shop. He's not going to be able to, but we can get on with the talking and the Southern Qs and the Grands. And congratulations in Kentucky, by the way, on your Grand. Everybody thought you'd done pulled two in a row when you had a first chicken, first rib right out of the gate. So congratulations on all that.
Thank you very much. That means a lot.
Yeah, you had a good cook, undoubtedly, 2 days in a row, which is sometimes hard to pull off, especially when you're doing a double. I've done that last year two or three times on double cooks, and it's tough when you're prepping meat and turning in meat at the same time.
Yeah, we're looking forward to Cleveland, Georgia, this weekend, I guess. I'm going through our hat and ring there.
It's a great contest. Done it last year and actually left there right after brisket turned in, went over to Dalton because it was one of those back-to-backs. And this year they moved us over to that Babyland Hospital where the Cabbage Patch Kids are made. But I'm hearing that's going to be a better ground for us, and it takes on more and more teams. So I think we'll have a good weekend there, and I think you'll do well there from what you've done in Kentucky. I heard all sorts of talking about those Kentucky guys. I went up to the Jim Beam Classic 2 weeks ago, the week of the Royal, and, man, you're talking about a bunch of great guys. They were some great guys in Kentucky. I had good neighbors just like you were talking about earlier, and those Kentucky boys are their hospitality is open, and they're a good bunch of group to cook with.
Yeah, we did the Star Spangled Banner at 9:07 or 9:22.
Yeah,
I don't know. We did the Star Spangled Banner at 9:07 and a shot at 9:22, I think.
There you go. They done that when I was there. That was pretty cool. Down in Southeast, we got Southport doing the 7:07, and that's always fun. I think you were over there for that, weren't you?
That was first time, and I didn't know what the hell he was talking about when he said, you gotta face west, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was counting down on the clock. I was the only one that, I guess everybody had a beer. I asked for some liquor because I needed some to open my eyes a little bit.
I remember some liquor bottles and some mason jars came out in that group too, I think.
I partaked in that also. I tried to get Michael Mixon too. He couldn't stomach it at the moment, he said. He backed off of it. I was kind of surprised.
Well, he's a lot younger than we are. If Michael gets a drink in his hand, he wants to drink the whole thing.
Yeah, I've never witnessed the face west and drink a beer at 7:07. That was definitely different. You know,
that was the official Southport time. That's how he does that, I think, with that atomic clock he has. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
He was worried about me. He thought I overslept.
He thought you overslept?
Yeah. I mean, we don't get there till about 5 anyway. It was, you hadn't fired
leave it running during, you leave yours running during the night, or you power cook, or what?
Power cook.
Oh, good deal. That's what I do. I knew y'all would have something common. There you go. I didn't know you was power cook.
Yeah, I didn't.
He's like you, Scott. He's a power cooker, but he's on a Lang. And but yeah, he'll stroll in about 4:30, you know, nonchalant, you know, and hook the big weed burner up to it, get that thing lit. 30 minutes later, he's putting food on it.
Really? You put water at the bottom of that thing?
No.
No? Just power cook
nah.
Straight like it is.
Yeah, Danny Kugel, he showed me how to do it. I had always cooked low and slow in them Langs. Danny showed me how to power cook on a hot, fast on a Lang cooker, how to get some good smoke out of it.
He done some power cooking back. I know the first 3 years ago was the first Dalton, and we granted the first year they had Dalton, and he was power cooking on a Lang there then. I remember that.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned
it. He taught me how to cook hot and fast, and he also taught me my chicken procedure.
Well, that's done pretty good this weekend, man.
I've changed it, you know, I tweaked it just a little bit, but yeah, Danny, you know, I owe Danny that. He showed me how to cook some chicken, how to prep it, so I owe them 2 first places this weekend to him because I did exactly what he showed me.
Oh, you had a first in chicken in Munford?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah,
wow.
There and was second in ribs, I think. And I was surprised Dalton didn't have no trophies, man. I had a first chicken and first ribs. I didn't get no trophy, Austin.
It's kind of changed. I actually, after the cooks meeting on Saturday evening, I talked to Casey Carpenter, which has ran that contest for the last 3 years, and Casey's ready to give it up. And I only live a few miles from there, so I'm at the QSB team is going to actually promote that contest next year, and I threw Casey some ideas on at least having a first place trophy for the 4 categories, and the way he does his first and second, I think that's fine. And we got a lot that's going to happen in that contest next year that's going to be different. There's going to be some smoker giveaways involved and things like that. This hasn't all been T's ain't been crossed and I's ain't been dotted, but they're real excited about a plan that Casey said. One of my cook team is from Dalton, and we saw sit down and talked about it, and things are going to pan out. We're going to get this thing on board this year, and you know, in by December, January, and that way we have all this at, you know, the Georgia banquet. We're going to auction off one of the spots, hopefully at the GBC, and hopefully he's back in the GBC. And there's big things going to happen at contest next year because he's going to kind of look. I think he's going to kind of turn it over to us and let us run with it for, and just try to help him out to get more teams. We got room there. That road where you were at, we can actually go down both sides of that road and put another 25 teams. We can have 50 teams there easy.
That was a great place to have a contest. But I mean, that was a good place. They had good power there. They had good water, from what I've seen. So had ash barrels. They had grease barrels everywhere. Yeah, a lot of contests you go to, there's only, you know, one or two grease barrels. And
he dropped the ball this year on the Port-a-Johns. Other than that,
Port-a-Johns. Yeah, everybody was. I wasn't about 30 seconds from the hotel, so I hopped in the truck about 6:15. And run back up to the hotel real quick. I had a little pain hit me. I didn't want to use your bathroom over there and dirty it up.
Well, there was 9 stalls there. They just said none of them have doors on them. But all 9 were used, I can promise you that, with all them teams down through there.
I did not see any toilet paper hanging on the wall, though. So.
No, we didn't use them in that aspect.
BYOP, bring your own paper.
Yep.
Now, Scott, when you run with this thing, man, just do me a favor and call Dale Wilson up there and get him to hook you up with some really nice, unique trophies. I know you've seen his work and stuff, but I'd give him a call. If you're looking to do something on him, he'll cut you a deal on him, you know, and he does really good work.
He's the guy that does them for the banquet in Young Harris? Pirate Vicky?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, Pirate Vicky.
Yeah, I've already I told Casey and them about him, and I would at least like to see a trophy for. I mean, I had a first place there myself this year, and the year I won it, I had 2 first place. But they don't. Casey's got a. He's new to this. This was his 3rd year, so he shouldn't be that new. But he is still green. He's got a lot going on. He owns so much in Dalton with these. He's got a cafe and an ice cream store and a furniture store and a couple other things that I've heard about, but he just needs somebody to kind of step in and just guide, and then he'll lead the way as far as the smoked part, but I think it'll work out a lot better next year. I think it'll be a great contest.
Well, you're giving him the cooker's point of view, and, you know, I think every person that's doing a contest organizer, you know, they need to hook up with a couple teams, a couple members or something of different teams, and kind of get their feedback on what, you know, cookers look for, you know, as far as the bare necessities, which, you know, you got to have portalettes, you got to have water, you got to have trash pickup, you got to have power. You know, we got those, we're good, you know. But you know, as far as cooker standpoints and everything, I think it's good that somebody else gets involved in it and, you know, kind of helps guide them. I mean, that's why Randall's is such a really good event, even the first year, because, you know, he cooks on his circuit, so he knows exactly what we want, and then he gives you more, you know. So, you know, that's come up. Go ahead. Somebody say something. So, anyway, you know, that's good. But, you know, Scott, you won another grand this past weekend up there in Dalton. So, I mean, our hats are off to you. And I want you to tell the listeners how many Southern Q smokers, how they fared up there against all these tough teams.
Well, believe it or not, I'm more proud of this than I am the grand. We had five cookers that come out of my shop in the top 10, and that just tickles me to death. And for two of the same one, I mean, these water cookers have come a long way in the last year. Got a lot of guys using them now. Got a lot on the vending and catering circuit, but they're just, it's amazing when I can take a one and a two with these cookers, and we're not using gurus, we're not doing anything. We're going to hotels, sleeping, showing up at 5 a.m. and getting the job done, undoubtedly. And 2 weeks in a row for Old Plantation, Michael Moore, I take my hat off to him. I mean, had two great fields out there with you guys. And last week, y'all were 1-2 in Georgia with the Southern Q.
Yep.
And this week, repeated again, 1-2 with the Southern Q. And I'm ecstatic about it. I mean, it's just awesome for me. And I'd rather have the cookers out there doing what they're doing than win any day of the week, believe me.
Well, you know, me and Michael were the only ones down there with Southern Q smokers, but I think we made believers out of a lot of teams down there, because after them, they were trying to figure out what we were cooking on. They came up, looked at my TNT, and I left it out on my tailgate on purpose just so people come by and look at it. So you may be getting a few calls from South Georgia or somewhere, but you know, we've been cooking all over the place. You know, we've cooked in four different sanctioning bodies. I think Brad has too this year. And yeah, Brad, I didn't get my grand this past weekend. We didn't have that great of a cook. Tony was cooking, but he turned out a pretty decent product. It was just real tight. You know, you got George King and Palmetto and Up in Smoke and all those South Carolina teams over there. It's kind of hard to wheel your way in when you do two or three a year. So, but anyways, we had a fun cook and saw those guys over there, and they were wanting to know where Brad was at. I told you went up to Kentucky. I said, went running scared.
Me? Yeah, it's, well, I wanted to go. I've heard a lot about that contest. I got a couple of master judges that cook with me, and they kept telling me about that Kentucky contest, and Ernie and Linda Poland, the reps of it, you know, told me how great it was. And I wanted to go, so I did go, and I had a great time. I mean, that Springfield, Kentucky is a super town, and a lot of great teams there. I mean, it was open-door hospitality on anything you needed, from a cold beer to a hot biscuit to a shot of Jim Beam. It was there, believe me. If you ever get a chance to cook in Kentucky, like luckily Lane did this week, that is a great place to go, period.
Well, I was kind of taking a weekend. I was thinking about doing Dalton. Had I really known it was going to be a Saturday and Sunday thing, I may have done it, but it was always too late. You know, we were doing a bunch of home improvements around here and getting some hardwood flooring down and all that, so I could continue the rest of the year. So get the old, make the old wife happy, because, you know, my wife's happy, my life's happy. So, anyway, she travels.
I understand that. Mine is unhappy, and she's going to get unhappier because we got a little points running in a few places. And unfortunately, I'm going to go cook for the next 5 weeks. Well, I got my next four booked up, so definitely the next 4 weeks. And so, but she's gearing up. That's why I had to take this weekend off. I couldn't. I wasn't gonna put her through all that. That'd been about 10 weeks in a row, and you know, I always like to have a little break in there. Sometimes it's good for me if I get a little break in there and you know, kind of get your mind straight. But I hate taking a break after you come off of a. I got two reserves, a grand, a ninth, a reserve, and a grand over the last few contests. So it's kind of hard to stop while you're doing that. But
I agree. That's kind of the streak we've been on since Kennesaw. We've went grand, reserve, reserve, grand, and it's just been a good run.
Yep. You got to keep it going while you got it, you know, because it's, depends. You're going to come off that wave. You're going to ride the wave, and you're going to come off it. It just depends on when you're going to come off.
Exactly. You never know when it's going to hit you, but it will hit you.
Yep. So, and, you know, every team out there that's been doing this knows that, and, you know, first thing they tell you is keep riding it. Go ahead and keep riding it. So, you know, a lot of the teams that are able to, they will, and, you know, they do very well at it, you know. So I don't really ever do that well in the summer. I don't know why. But
it's because you're like me. You're fat and it gets hot and you don't concentrate as well. Because
that's right.
The summer either.
Yeah, I think you got a point there because I'm like, good Lord, you know. You go to Greenwood. I know you've done Greenwood and it's like, you know, 9,000 degrees. And, you know, that's just a they could have it at fairgrounds and make it a whole lot cooler. But they choose not to because it's for downtown, and I understand that and everything. But, you know, it's just – it wasn't as bad this year as it had been in the past, but around awards time, it was almost unbearable. And then I never do good in Dillard. I go up and do it, I guess, just to show up. I don't know, but I never do good up there. But it's one of the events you got to go do. You know, they take care of you up there pretty well.
I think they do. I love Greenwood and Gaffney both. They've always done a great contest, and I've cooked them both for the last couple of years. And I ran from them this year, as you were calling it earlier, but it wound up a good thing that I did. And we went up to Kettering, Ohio on one of those weekends and had a great weekend. And then I think the one weekend of maybe Greenwood, I went somewhere else or I took off one, but they, those South Carolina contests are great. They're tough, and there's always good teams in them. I mean,
well, you get some, you know, some South Carolina teams in there, and I tell everybody, you know, the boys in Carolina, they can cook some pork, you know, because that's what they cook, you know.
Yeah.
And I tweaked mine. I got some help from a South Carolina team doing very well in pork, and the first time I changed over to his method and flavor profile, took first place in pork and hadn't really placed out of top 10 since. So I give my hats off to Jeff Smith from Smoking Stacks for giving me some pointers. And I traded him some brisket pointers because he's going out to World Food Championship. So I helped him out there, and hopefully he actually cooked a Wagyu brisket this past weekend and he's more happier about that than even cooking at the contest, I believe. So he was he was really pleased. So I think we got a 706, 506 number. Is this Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Michael Moore. Go ahead and put him in. That's your reserve grand in Georgia the last 2 weeks. Put old Michael on there. He's Southern Q, boy.
He's on here.
Hello. Congratulations to Scott this past weekend.
Thank you, sir.
You're doing quite well yourself, Michael.
Well, I've been working hard at it. It's a Southern Q smoker show helping out quite a bit, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've been on a TNT now for, I don't think I've been on here a whole year.
Yeah.
And so far between four different sanctioned bodies, I've won four grands and seven reserve grands this year. So the good quality smokers, and they're affordable, so.
Yep, they are. Actually, Scott cooked on mine 2 weeks before I got it, and I think he had a grand with it, but I know he had a 180 brisket, and I cooked on it 3 weeks later and took a 180 brisket with it and a grand. So it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
So you know it ain't the cooker, right?
Well, it helps. I can tell you that it helps. That's for sure.
Yeah, so if you have a bad cook, it's all on you.
Well, yeah. Scott knows me enough to know that I do make mistakes from time to time. Of course, this is just my second year in professional cooking, but we've come a long way from where we were when we first started.
Yeah, this is my second full year in it. I did 3 years ago. I did 21 last year, and I think we're going to end up with around 30 to 33 this year between all the ones other, you know, sanctioning bodies I've done. But,
right.
But yeah, it's, you know, I tell you, the turning point for me was I talked to Scott up there at the GBC up there at in Young Harris. I talked to Tim. He gave me the down low on all the TNT style smokers, you know, the gravity fed charcoal. And when we got to awards, I was the first one in line that was not cooking on a Southern Q style smoker or Jambo. I was cooking on Green Eggs last year. I did pretty well on them. I won a couple grands and a couple reserves, but you know, when you get up against these teams that have all these, you know, what I call a more efficient competition cooker, and you're the first one out of there cooking on something else, you know, to me it was time for me to make a change. I'm like, okay, I've got as far as I can go with these Green Eggs. I realized that my first year. So I had to get something that, you know, was comparable, you know, that's like going through a gunfight with a knife, you know. You can only do it for so long. So that's what pushed me over the edge and got in touch with Tim and Scott and everything and got a cooker. And then I got another one that I strictly use for competition and been doing very well on it. So, yeah, I know what you're going through. I've been there, done that. Hadn't got my Southern Q Smoker T-shirt yet, but one day I will. I guess I got to win another grand before I get one.
Well, I don't know.
We're going to get some, man. I'm just going to get more made. I don't have any big boy sizes, so I'm as big as they come, but we're going to get some more shirts. You were talking earlier, Jim, about getting help from somebody with your brisket and doing this and that. You know, when you get in the barbecue community, and this speaks out to everybody that's out there listening, I mean, you ask somebody for help, and they help you out, and you do good. It makes the guy that helped you feel good. A couple of weeks ago, Michael, online with us now, called me about ribs, and he come by the shop. We talked. We done some rib talk, and he went out and improved his ribs, and I got in a real tight situation in the last month or so with my pork, and Michael come through with pork, lo and behold, he beats me in ribs this week. I beat him in pork, but, you know, it's all about helping one another out. It's one big barbecue family, and, you know, it's hard not to be happy when you go 1-2 with your buddy that's cooking next door to you on the same cooker. It's always a good feeling, but that helping each other out is, I believe, any given day, somebody's going to cook and have a good product put out there. I mean, Lang went to Kentucky. He's 2 states from home. Ran, and you, somewhere down the line, like he said, with his chicken, if you go into first place, CBS 1 weekend, I think you've done something. Yeah, and like I said, I've known Brad for a while. We've competed against each other, and, you know, we've done a little smack talk, but in all serious, you know, he's competitive, I'm competitive, but, you know, at the end of the day, we want to see each other do well. You know, me and him and Chris went up to Spruce Pine. We're the only teams that knew really one another up there for the most part, and so we were all kind of in our own little group saying, all right, we need to take first, second, and third and all this other stuff, you know, and of course, we all pretty much bombed up there, But, you know, it was nice to have people like that around. And, you know, if you need something, you know, we've got it. Like I said, Brad came by here. He said, man, I'm pinched for briskets. He said, I just decided to go do these two. And, you know, my order from Snake River Farms won't be in and blah, 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 blah. And I had two in the freezer that had already aged. And I said, look, I said, that might not be as aged as you need them. But I said, you know, I don't take them to the brink of extinction. But I said, you know, they're there. I gave them a 15 and 16 pounder, and you know, it helped him out, you know, and it's, you know,
I don't think it's any more than if somebody's really pushing it, like what you said, that you know a buddy of yours out there on the tour and stuff, they needed something. I know you've given briskets to other teams before, you know, try to help them out, and, you know, it pays off. Yeah, and it makes you, I mean, it still makes you feel good, though, because you're like, you know, like when Brad won that, I'm not kidding, my wife went nuts. I mean, she was like, oh, that's so great, you know, and Brad's always been nice to us and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's nice to see that happen, and for him to give me a shout-out on it and everything, to tell everybody, you know, hey, if it wasn't for me or this and that, but Brad's been getting wood from me for a year. You know, we sell wood by the pallets. We got oak, hickory, and pecan, so, you know, he comes by the shop, and he'll load up, and you know, he may load up two or three times in a little basket and come by, you know, a third time and pay me money, even up, and just keep on going, you know, but you know, when you do it like how we do it, you know, it's nice to have somebody you can count on to, well, I don't exactly have enough money to get there, so, you know,
right.
I'll pay you later.
Well, helping somebody out and, you know, giving somebody some corners, at the end of the day, it's still got to be cooked. You still got to put it in a box and get it turned in. And, you know, you can help. I can go tell somebody everything I do, and you could too, but for them to turn around and do it. But when you can help a professional cook like yourself or Michael Moore or Lang, and they know how to apply it, and then when they do that and they do well, it makes you feel good. It really does. I mean, because there's things that I do that's different from everybody. There's things that all of us do that's different from everybody. But, you know, and you may tell somebody something, but they only take one piece of it and add to what they're already doing, and it helps them out. I mean, I just think that's the that's brotherly love of barbecue. I do, and there's a lot of great cooks out there. But when you can help somebody and they do well and are beachy, I think, I mean, it is really a good feeling.
Well, I like, you know, when you talk to seasoned professionals like you, you know, and you tell them pretty much what you're doing, and then you'll put something in like, "Well, have you ever tried this?" Well, no. And you just kind of look at them. All right, I need to try that. You know, just little subtle hints, you know, that point him in the right direction. And, you know, there's no doubt that Brad knows how to cook, you know. There's no doubt. It's just, you know, it's the flavor profile. Like you said, he just tweaked a few things, and you see what a tweak does. I mean, you got two firsts and chicken and a first and second of ribs in the same weekend. I mean, that's pretty stout. Especially
against
the cooks that he was up. Especially against the cooks he was up against. I mean, he's got all them Kentucky boys up in Tennessee boys, and he comes down here, he's got all the Georgia boys down here. So, you know, there's no easy task around here. There are no easy contests anymore. And it's just getting tougher and tougher. But you know, like I said, you know, you've helped Michael out. I mean, you helped us out, me and Don, and one way or the other. But you know, what you got to put in perspective, too, is what necessarily works for you wouldn't work for me because I'm low and slow. You know, and you're hot and fast, and you know, but you can still take something out of it and apply it to what you're doing.
It definitely.
So, but you know, now getting back to these the smokers. Now, I like, you know, I deal with Mike Shore up at Royal Oak, and he's got some really good product out there. And I know you cook on Kingsford sometimes, but I know you also like the Royal Oak I bring you. And, you know, I did have one team this past weekend that I gave a green bag, the little Ultra 100. I think I gave him two bags, and he tried it out in his backwoods. And it's kind of ironic because he said, "It actually got too hot." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "It actually got too hot in there." I'm like, "Hell, I kind of like that."
Yeah, exactly. You know, the brown bag you're giving me, that chef's choice that you gave me in Royal Oak, it's great charcoal. I cooked on it this weekend. And
yeah.
I'm down to one bag, by the way. You coming to Cleveland next week?
Yeah.
But I do like Royal Oak. Maybe I need to contact them one day, but I do like Royal Oak. And I got some rough guys out there that I like. But I've been putting a bag of that big lump or the big briquette Royal Oak in mine every week for the last quite a few weeks, and
But the ones I've pulled off from Kennesaw to now, I mean, Michael, the whole plantation gets credit for that because they really, you know, we talked about pork and right after I started doing it in pork, we started talking about ribs for Old Plantation, and I'm just so glad he's pulled off some rib wins here recently, and he's had a 1-2 2 weeks in a row with a first and a second, so, and I've pulled my pork scores up tremendously, so it's a combination, charcoal, the cooker, and everything else, but the Southern Q500 and the Southern QTNT for the last three contests have ruled Georgia, so, and I like that.
Well, I mean, it just shows you the quality of cookers, and you know, you got so many different, you got quite a few different teams using them. Of course, you want quite a few more, but you know, the big difference is, you know, from what I was cooking on, and you know, number one, the price didn't break me, which was really a huge deal. Number two is I had one little issue with the gasket, and you actually fixed it up in Cornelia at the competition, so you know that took care of that, but. But, you know, it's the fact that, you know, you get, you know, with me cooking low and slow, I can go in and get 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And that's pertinent when you're doing these competitions and you got turn-ins. You got to be able to focus and, you know, be awake at turn-in times. And, you know, when you're finishing up your meat and stuff, I mean, you really need to stay focused because that's when your flavors are starting to really hit and you need to be at J game. And, you know, like I said, these smokers, they're gravity-fed. And, you know, I can put one bag of the green and a bag of that Chef's Choice in there, and I can do about a 16-hour cook on my TNT and still have a little charcoal left in the bottom. So, you know, that they're great cookers. I know your 500s, your Southern Q500s are really good. And, you know, they won't make you break the bank. And you've got some patio models of the water cookers, too, if I'm not mistaken, don't you?
We do. I've got about 3 models of the water cooker. One of them I just built the first one of, and we've got 2 gravity feeds out now, the one that TNT's cooking on, and then we've got the original upright like you have. But we're gaining. I mean, I've got several new things that's on the drawing board laying on my desk that I'm going to do. I don't want to be the guy that goes out and copies somebody, and I've got a few. I got a few cookers in mind that I think is going to take off next year and really come out and get the head to head with some of these upper name brands. And we also build some name brands that just get basically they're built in my shop and they get another name on them. I'm not going to say those names, but we build it for a couple of people that actually stick their label on them and sell them as theirs. And I'm proud of those cookers that win too, just as I am ours.
Well, that shows you the quality you're putting into them. I mean, when somebody else comes up to you and I know who a couple of them are, and they're very, very well named. And, you know, but like I said, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside because you know where those cookers originated. You know who built those. And for them to do well, too, it's kind of still like part of your baby, you know. It's something that comes out of your shop and you're proud of.
That makes talking over her. You need to talk to him about something. He's doing a lot of listening. I ain't heard nothing.
He's kind of quiet anyway. You know, we're down in Ohio. He doesn't say a whole lot, but you know he. You know I will apologize for one thing though, Michael. When you know, if you were like me, like down in Lyons, you know we had 3 teams that had 4 calls, and every one of us had a first place in something. So you're like, you know, after that, you get another call, then you kind of forget where they're at. You know, was this a 7th or a 10th or was it 6th and 5th? You know, you get all this crap running through your head. And we had 3 cook teams with 4 first place. Each one of us had a first place, and we all had 4 calls. They called out 3rd place, and they were hooting and hollering. And Mike turned around and looked at me and he goes, well, it's for me and you. And,
yes, it's between you and me.
And then they called him for reserve grand. Well, me and my wife jumped up, and he turned around and looked at us like, you know, of course, Waylon and Jenny and all them were jumping up too. And we didn't mean any disrespect or anything to you, but, you know, I know you turned around and looked at us and said congratulations. And,
I turned around and looked at you to give you congratulations because I knew it was down to either you or me, either one. And, you know, when you can go – drive 300 miles to a competition. And in fact, that was my very first competition that I have ever cooked by myself. So I was nervous all week long, and had a huge accident inside the trailer during tourney. And so I was real edgy about that. But when it got down to you and I knew, I said, hey, you know, that's the way it is. And I was congratulating you. And I probably would have done the same thing if you'd have been called reserve. So well, it's just that happy moment. You know, you knew you had it right then, and it makes it a happy moment for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, you turned around and said, first thing you said, Scott, come on, Scott's going to be so happy.
Yep. Well,
that was
and
the first thing you said.
I had heard when we first got there, I heard someone come up and said that there's two teams coming, and they've got certain smokers that they're using, and we thought we were going to have a kind of a chance till those two smokers showed up and two teams with them. So, and I didn't even know these people, and I didn't think they knew me. But you know, it's all in a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with the people down there, and you were talking about the affordability of Scott smokers and how good they do. Last year, I cooked all last year on a smoker from Texas that's a $25,000 smoker. And this year, it's sitting home in the barn and gets hamburgers cooked on from time to time, and I'm using one of Scott's affordable ones.
Well, you know, it's all process thing, you know, but, you know, like y'all go in, y'all go to bed, and y'all get up at 4:30 and light your grill and get going. You know, I light mine before I go to bed and put meat on and, you know, put my guru on one and all that stuff and put probes in. I go to sleep for 4 or 5 hours. So, you know, it's very important to get the rest. And, you know, with these smokers, you can do that. Now, I'm not saying there's not any other smokers that you can go out there and can't do that. I'm just saying, as far as the productivity of, you know, because those Q smokers haven't been around a whole lot, you know, a real long time. But the placings of the teams that are using their smokers are, it's really up their games. If you look before I started cooking on this to now, you'd see how it's really up my game. And I really hadn't changed a whole lot, you know, as far as the cooking and all that stuff. I hadn't really changed a whole lot. So, you know, something's got to be said for the cooker. You know, it does a really good job, and it's got, you know, from front of my cooker to the back, I think it's about 12 to 15 degrees difference. And, you know, that's one thing that some people don't like, but I love it about mine, because if I'm running behind on a piece of meat or something happens that I'm running behind, or, you know, you get that piece of meat that's just plateauing and won't come out of it, just slide a little bit further to the back, and it's good to go, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, when I first got his smoker, I tested it out with some of the thermometer, the oven thermometers, and set it throughout, you know, looking for hot spots and cold spots. And I couldn't find any difference throughout the smoker, any, you know, hardly any whatsoever. And it's, of course, like any smoker, you're going to have one side that may be a tad more than the other, but like you said, all you've got to do is move meat just a tad, just, I mean, just a little bit, and you can overcome that. But that's with any smoker, just learning about your own particular smoker.
That's exactly the point I was going to touch on was, you know, do some practice cooks and get it where you want it. You know, get it to how you feel that you need to cook on it. Because you can't, it's very hard to just take a cooker and go out the first time and win something with it. Even though I kind of threw that away because the first time I ever cooked on my TNT, I took a reserve grand. The second time I ever cooked, I took a grand. So, you know, I was pretty good coming out of the gates. But, you know, with me cooking for a sandwich shop, after I won the reserve grant, I did get a couple more cooks in before the only FBA I've ever done and won a grand down there. And it was kind of funny because I called Tim and he's like, yeah, he said, you did something some of other people couldn't do, and that's won a grand on the TNT. So I thought it was kind of funny. And but he was tickled to death. I mean, that was my first and only ever FBA so far. And so I told, I think it was Robbie Royal, I told him, I said, I think I'm going to retire from FBA. Ain't nothing to this. So, but nah, it's
some of the Georgia boys can come up and try to get a taste of that next year. At least me, maybe. I'm not sure, but maybe I can.
Well, you know, with the FBA, it's a really good organization. It's set up just like KCBS. It's just an hour in between turn-ins and no garnish. And that's what SBA and KCBS need to change. Because, you know, with people, which doesn't really matter to me, because, like I said, it doesn't really, I don't really sweat at turn-in times like a lot of these teams do. But, you know, when you got to mess with garnish and stuff, it's, I really wish I could fill my box right before I do the meet and all this other stuff. But, man, I get that stuff done as quick as possible. You know, if I can get it done, as soon as I get my boxes, I go ahead and get my boxes done and in the fridge, and one less thing I got to worry about. But but I know, now, Scott, you mentioned that I think Tim cooked on a new model this past weekend, didn't he?
He did. We've got one, and it's settling up right, like you've got with your charcoal chute in the back and your door the way it is. It's got four shelves in it still, but the charcoal chute is setting off to the left side, and it's a total of 4 foot on that cooker, which gives a little more cooking capacity. Tim did make some adjustments this week to that cooker before we start putting any of them out or anything. He did make some adjustments, and Tim had a good cook. He had a second place chicken. I think he finished fifth or sixth overall, and it was a good cook for him, and Tim's only cooked very few times this year, so I was proud of him. And we got another product that's coming along, but we're going to try to get it as close as we can to where we want it before we release it. And I believe it'll be a good cooker when it's all said and done. It's going to give you a little more room. It's a little stretched out as opposed to the one we had, and still run the same way. I think they'll run a little better with a 25 CFM fan on them. I know Georgia Boys talked about theirs with a 25. That's all I had in stock when they bought theirs, and they bought a 25 fan for it. And they told me how great it was, and I told Tim, I said, hey, we need to run a 25 on this thing. Let's see what happens. And the recovery time is just, from what I hear, is just great with a 25. And I think, have you ran a 25 on yours, or are you still just doing 10?
I'm still doing a 10. One of my friends bought one of my gurus, and I'm thinking about getting a 25, letting him get that 10 because he's got a green egg that he wants to use it on. I got the adapter and all that, but you know, I talked to Don and Bo, and you know, they put it on there, and you know, they were using the guru, the fan halfway open, and you know, it's just like a 10 CFM fan, and they were needing something to recoup to put the big meats on. And he said, we opened that thing up, that thing kicked on. He said, I'm telling you, within 10, 15 minutes, that thing was up where they needed it to be. And, I mean, which is phenomenal in the cooker when you put that much, you know, meat in there. And you're not really cooking that hot to begin with, this big thing. So, you know, for it to recoup that quick, that says something for it right there.
It is. Well, you know, you've also got that option for those guys that come along to Southern Cuse to make such a variety of smokers. You got them smokers like me and Michaels, you just put the wood and the coal to it, and you don't have to have a guru. I mean, that's the amazing thing about that cooker. The one he and I own, I 100% designed it, and I made one change in that cooker in the last 3 years, and I've had just phenomenal results. I mean, I'm 3 years in a row I have had grand championships under QSB, and we've had a phenomenal year. And if it wasn't for, you know, just a little bit of thinking, not only as a fabricator but as a cook, I mean, I kind of came out with a gem of my own by mistake, if you would. I mean, it's a great cooker, but I don't take all the credit for it, because I seriously believe you got to have a cook behind it too. And I'm proud of this year. You guys have already took that SDN title of the year. I got the Great Lakes Barbecue title on one of our Southern Q500s, and I mean, we're gaining on it. You know, if you get 2 steaks out of 50, that's pretty good to me. But if, next year I want 10, so we'll see.
Well, you know, with me cooking SBN and Southern Barbecue Network also, I was going to mention this before, I'm barbecue superstars, but, you know, back then it may have been a little bit premature, but right now, if things hold true, you know, your TNT smoker the first year out on the SBN circuit has won Team of the Year in SBN. So we finished our five cook with 2 grands and 3 reserve grands, and you know, I don't think anybody can come anywhere close to that, especially with the amount of teams that were in those contests. So that just goes to tell you right there, it's a quality product at a reasonable price.
And you know, and I appreciate y'all sponsoring me and you know, getting me through all that. And like I said, you know, every little tidbit, you know, I've talked to Tim for a little while, and he's telling me a few little things he did with his chicken that would probably help me, and I started doing that, and I think I reeled off a couple second-place finishes right after he told me that. So, you know, when you go up against like the Barbecue and Pit Bull and Midnight Burn and Chickswine Bovine and Smokehouse Mafia and all them guys, I mean, that says a lot right there. And I give my hats off to Butcher Barbecue. David helped with my brisket around that same time. I've reeled off 3 first-place finishes since then. So, and won 180. So that's pretty phenomenal. Just like I said, just from talking to other guys, you know, David didn't give me any of his secrets. He just told me, you know, what everybody should be doing. And, you know, I went back, looked at some notes from last year and tweaked those, and it's come through. So, you know, sometimes you got to take a step back and move 2 steps forward. So I guess Michael, you and Scott will be up at White County this weekend, right?
Yes, we both will be there. Hope to have another good cook this weekend. This is a GBC event, so we want you to try to pick up some more points there and hang on to some of the positions that we've already got. So 3 more events, and it's getting down to the wire.
It is. I'm going to be cooking in probably at least 2 more of them. You know what would be pretty cool up there in White County is if we can get all the Toby Q smokers lined up there.
That would be cool. Michael's got a good feat going on. I don't have a first place in nothing, but he is currently our Georgia Pork champion, and I hope he holds that right through the end of the National Cup, and I believe he will. I mean, he's cooking good right now, and I'd like to have this, you know, I'd be in one more little title we can put on there, and I like it. I mean, and I hope you come out and finish strong. I know I think you just made your 5th one in lines, didn't you?
Yep, and we're 8th in brisket, but I've got a 160 in brisket. So Jeff from Wicked Q actually came down to Fireside this past Tuesday and gave a brisket lesson, competition brisket, you know, without giving up too many of his secrets. He was, I think he's about 18 points in front of me. And, yeah, he's number one chicken and brisket cook in Georgia right now, according to GBC. And when he said brisket, I said, yeah, right now. And he kind of looked at me and everything, and I said, you got me by about 18 points. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, but I got a 160 in there. So hopefully if I can get another good brisket call next week or two, that'll bump me on up a little bit more. Last year was a shocker because I was 4th in ribs, and I was like 7th in brisket, 7th or 8th in brisket, and I think I was 10th in chicken and like 15th in pork. But, you know, the rib call was really, really a shock to me because I didn't know where I was at in ribs. And so they called us out. Me and Jan just looked at each other, ribs? I figured it'd be brisket, you know? But no, I mean it's a good little fun event that we have here in Georgia, and you know a lot of teams, you know, take it pretty serious. You know, I could have done a few more GBCs, but you know, I told Scott earlier in the year that I really wanted to win them Team of the Year in SBN, so I had to quit doing some GBCs. I had to make some changes so I can go do some more SBNs. I know a lot of South Carolina teams hate to see me pull up, but you know, when I mean, just say how tough Georgia teams are. When me and Waylon went to Union, we were the only Georgia teams there, and we took Grand and Reserve Grand there. So that's just to let you know how tough, you know, these Georgia teams are. It's
there's good teams, you know, all over the country. It's according on where you're cooking. I mean, there's a big scoring difference in certain regions, and I've been to those regions, but the profiles still work. You got to get it. At the end of the day, I mean, you know if you had a good cook or you didn't, and you still got to get it in the box. But I agree. I mean, there's great cooks everywhere. They really are. Just to walk out of here and say, okay, I'm going to such and such state next week winning a grand, it's not going to happen. still got to perform in your normal manner. And if you have to adjust the flavor profile a little, you may have to. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the tenderness and your flavor profile is what makes your day.
Yeah, I do tweak it a little bit from South Carolina and North Carolina. And, you know, me living on the other state from y'all, you know, you kind of learn when you cook against a lot of these South Carolina teams, you kind of learn, you know, you taste some of their food, especially ones that do well, and you kind of get an idea of which way you need to tweak it, you know. And, you know, I let Qology taste some of my brisket up there in at the National, up at Sam's Regional, I mean, up in Nashville. And I tried their brisket and kind of had a sauce on it or whatever. And I let them taste mine. They go, wow, that's really beefy. And I'm like, yeah. What does it supposed to taste like?
Yeah, I mean, you got regions that sauce it. I think sauce does well in the northern region, and I think sauce does well out west. I mean, I do.
Well, you know, what I mean by sauce is just very, very lightly, you know, done, but just adds a little bit different flavor profile to it or whatever. I know around here it works better if I don't sauce it. But I have done very well with doing some sauce last year. You know, like I said, it changes, you know. It goes along with a lot of these teams, too. You know, you get a lot of these teams like Jeff from WikiQ. You know, last year he couldn't be beat in pork. You know, he was number one pork team last year. He couldn't beat him. Now he can't buy top five in pork. So, but, you know, now he's handling chicken and brisket. So, you know, it changes. You know, it can change from one year to the next and from team to team. It's just, you've always been pretty strong in every category, and I think I told you this up at Rome, you're the only guy I know that can not even have a call and finish in the top five. So I don't know how the hell you do it, but you know, it's just you know, it just amazes me how you can.
I had a call up there, just wasn't a very high one.
No, but you stuck your way in there. Well, I mean, you look at the Sam's Regional, you know, we were sitting there talking to you. And, you know, we had two calls, and you had one call. They kept calling down from 10th. He goes, man, you're in the top five. You're in the top five. Scott said, whatever you need, man, I'll help you out, you know, get you out there, blah, blah, blah. They call you out for, what, fifth or sixth, fifth overall or whatever? And you look at me like, oh, yeah, one call. Something screwed up. And I didn't make it. I got 13th. I'm like, and you were still dumbfounded. How the hell did I get fifth with one call when all these, hey, you look at Pack Smokes had two first place, and one of them was a 180.
And they
finished
they had
fourth.
A 10th place also, but they also had a
30th.
Qology there had three calls also.
Yeah, they had a 29th in brisket. And I had a 4th in brisket up there, so I think they got the hint. But you know, that's what I was talking about. It amazed me. You get one call and you still finish top five. You know,
I've had a good year. It's a lot of luck involved in that.
But you know, it shows.
I guess when you're good, you're just good, huh?
luck just falls in your lap, I guess. I don't know.
Yesterday was a solid one. I mean, you sitting there with Lang with two first place calls, but I didn't get a top 10 call, and then when they called Michael for reserve, I kind of thought, but I didn't know. I mean, I could have taken chicken. I did get a call in the other three, but luckily the chicken was 11th, and we were okay. But you never know. I mean, it's like Sam's the finals this year. I mean, I tanked pork. I'm sitting there in the house, and there's five people sitting around me thinks I'm in first, second, third. And I said, not here. I said, it don't work that way. I said, this contest is so tight that I may not be in it. And I was 15th.
Yep.
I mean, I made money, luckily. Had a great chicken and a brisket, but my pork killed me and took me out of the whole contest. I mean, if I'm in the top 20 in pork, I can win $50,000, but I wasn't in the top 20. I was 42nd.
We wouldn't have been able to talk to you then if you won that $50,000.
Yeah, you could have still talked to me.
We just have to look up. But now you also do, we talked about this before, you also do some trailers too, don't you?
I do. We've I designed the Porch trailer that I currently use, and I've probably sold, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them this year. And Michael's design is very similar to mine, although not manufactured by my manufacturer. But, I mean, those trailers are just so simple and easy. You got a 5-year warranty with the trailers that I sell, and you go to a contest, you hook up the power cords and water if they got it. If they don't have it, you got it on board with you. But we just, the Freedom trailers have come a long way. They've really improved. I got one of the best ones I've ever owned now. I just took delivery of it last Wednesday, and it's just great. I've done some changes on it. You'll be up there next week. You'll get to see it. But it's a lot classier looking. I like the way I'm doing it. What I'm afraid of is I'll have two or three of them out here, and there'll be pictures taken at every contest like there is. And now I'll have 15 other people build them just like it because there's no way to patent them. But I've got a good looking one now that I think is going to come out pretty strong next year. And they're sharp looking. And we stand behind our product, whether it be the smokers or the trailer. I try to keep everybody in tune, believe it or not.
We've got another 770-283 number on. Hello?
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 You on the air?
Yes.
I think that's my son calling in, Jim.
Oh, is it?
I believe it is. It sounds like his voice.
Okay. So you just want to listen? I didn't see the little mic thing come up, so.
Well, he knows a little bit about smokers. He wanted to call you, and I did late him a while ago.
Oh, that's fine.
We just walked into or pulled up at a restaurant. We're going to eat shortly. And he's chomping at the bit, but it's Christopher. He is my main sidekick at barbecues, as a lot of these guys know. But he's very involved with these smokers. He can tell you a lot. He can tell you sometimes things about smokers that I don't know. But
yeah, he was up there in Rome with you, wasn't he?
He was. He was at the air show the entire weekend, yes.
Yep. So yeah, he was talking to Daryl and a few other people about the smokers and stuff. So I thought it was pretty interesting that you know, he, like you said, he knew that much about them.
He's quite a salesman. He gets in there, he gets active with it. He likes it, but he is our next generation of barbecue guys. So
well, hopefully we'll have quite a few of those around, because I know Jeff Wickie, his daughter went up there and. To the Future Legends up there in North Carolina, and they won the barbecue competition up there. And
yeah, Jeff won Tryon last year, right?
Yeah, he won Tryon last year.
Right.
Yeah, Tillman Grill won
this year. Is that the one you're talking
about? No, they have it's a kids' queue. Kids under 16, I think. And the Apple City Smokers, I can't think of his last name now, but Mike, you know, the legend, he puts it on up there in North Carolina. It's called the Future Legends of Barbecue, and it's a kids' queue, and they cook like two meats and, you know, a side item or something, and, you know, the parents are supposed to, like, you know, trim the meat for them. And then, you know, manage the fire. The kids are supposed to do the rubbing, the injecting, all that stuff, you know. And his daughter actually won the Feature Legends. And so I asked Jeff, I said, did you jump up a little bit or whatever? He said, did I? He said, I was hooting, hollering, screaming. You know, Jeff's kind of laid back, you know. But he said, I look like a bumbling idiot up there. He said, man, I was so happy. And he said, so he looked at all these other teams. He said, you know, a lot of elementary school kids up there and stuff. And he said, you know, they were playing in the bouncy house and doing this, and the parents were doing the barbecue and the stuff. He said, I just kind of looked over there, and, you know, he takes his little girl to a lot of these contests, and so she kind of knows what you do with your son, and she kind of knows what's going on. Actually, she's a good luck charm, I guess. But yeah, he was some kind of happy about that. He was.
It makes you happy. Speaking of kids' queue, I mean, we don't have enough of them, in my opinion. Christopher participates in a lot of kids' queues when he can, and he's won a grand this year in Sevierville, Tennessee. But that's where it's at. I mean, that's what it's going to take to get us to the next level is to keep these kids involved and I'm glad that she's doing that. I mean, Jeff's daughter's a wonderful girl, and she undoubtedly knew what she was doing if she won that. And I'm proud of mine. He's won one for the last 2 years in a row, and yeah. I'm proud of him, too, and I know Jeff is. Jeff's a great guy, and that shows that he does spend a little time, and, hey, this is a hobby. I know it takes away from a weekend of Disney or a vacation or a beach or whatever, but at least the kids are there and they're learning, and it's a lifelong skill that they can carry out with them.
But you're probably happier for them than for you if you win a grand. You know, that's
I was tickled to death.
Yeah.
I mean it's just amazing that some of the things you see that kids think of. I was tickled to death when Christopher won.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like you said, it's next generation of the barbecue. And I really wish, I really hope, you know, especially some of these contests that are well known, you know, they incorporate some kids' cue because, you know, a lot of times you bring them up, you spend a long weekend. You know, you got a lot of kids around and stuff, and they're kind of sitting around, you know, just hee-hawing around and stuff. But yeah, it'd be good to get them in on you know, one category, two categories, you know, easy categories, and let them do it. And you got the parents right there to help them with it. And, you know, let them go at it, you know, let them have some fun and they'll take interest in it. And, you know, I think it's great. You know, I really do.
That's what it's going to take to keep any sport alive. I mean, whether it be golfing or bull riding, you got to have these kids involved. I mean, that's what it takes. So that is our future of the barbecue world after we leave.
Yep. And I know Brad, he up there in Uniquely Union, Brad had his daughter up there. I think they cooked hamburgers and something else. And I know Brad's back on the line, I do believe, aren't you, Brad? Brad, are you there?
Yes, sir.
We were just talking about kids' queue and stuff. Your little girl did something up in Union, didn't she?
Yeah, she had a little beef. She got her first trophy, a little beef trophy. She was, that's one of my favorite trophies.
Brad, we're proud of that. That's it. So, but yeah, you know, we really wish that they'd do some more kids' queue at some of these contests and stuff. And you know, it doesn't really take a whole lot of time out for, you know, a parent to help them. And, you know, like I said, when they do well, I mean, you're happier for them than you are for yourself. And it's just like hunting and fishing and everything. You know, take a kid, let them go barbecue, you know. Let them go see what it's like. Let them go experience it and everything. Mine's a little too grown for that, but, you know, he will one day come out there with me. One day.
There's one this weekend in Cleveland.
Do what?
I hope to enter. There's one this weekend in Cleveland.
Where is it?
It's a 6 to 11 class, and then 11 on up, 17, I believe. They're taking 6 entrants. I had talked with her. Yeah, I hope there's one open. Shelby's only 5, but I'm going to lie and say she's 6. So.
Well, hopefully you can get her in it. Are you taking a big bus up there, or?
Taking the bus is, I mean, I like it for sleeping or whatever, but I don't have a shower in that thing, man. I just kind of wish I had a shower is worth more than anything else during the barbecue competition, either to wake you up or help you go to sleep or whatever. I don't know. I just, where do you get a hotel? I'm just going to bring the trailer up, and my trailer and my 84 together have done well here recently, so I'm going to try to stick with that for a little while.
Well, we can all understand that. I know Scott gets hotel rooms and stuff. And, you know, get what works for you, you know. I mean, y'all are hot and fast. Y'all are in and out and done with it and everything else. So, you know, that's what works for you.
So. Might get a little privacy, too. So always good luck. Get a little booty during the barbecue competition if you can.
Yep. But, I guess we're all going to be up there in White County this weekend, so it's going to be pretty interesting on how we all do. Of course, I got to pull for, you know, Southern Q Smokers first and Friends second. So,
that's right. That's right.
You know, it's a Southern thing.
Hey, those are some nice cookers. I watched them operate this weekend, and you know, there was some some good looking stuff coming out of them cookers.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Like I said, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I told them it'd be cool if we all were kind of lined up because you got us and Cumans doing a brewing and Old Plantation and Georgia Boys. I think Tenacious Q got one too, doesn't he, Scott?
He does. They've got one of the old originals before Southern Q came about.
Right. And, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to us all kind of getting in a row and maybe let a Lang in there or something, you know. Something that
let the Lang guy in. Let the Lang guy in somewhere in the middle or something.
Don't force you out, right?
I don't have anything against anybody's cookers. I like Lang's. I like Jambo's. Anybody that's built them, you know what, they're contributing to the barbecue family, the barbecue world, and I wish all of them good luck. We've just been real blessed lately.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, you got Stumps out there. You've got Yoder's and Jambo's, of course, a lot of Lang's. I see a lot of Lang's everywhere. And, you know, of course, Southern Q and Backwoods Smokers and, you know, what else is out there? Superior, Southern Pride, you know, the whole nine yards. Memphis Pellet Smokers, Traeger's and all them. I mean, all these are pretty, you know, they're pretty well-built smokers in their own right. It's just, you know, you just got to get the flavors coming off them right. You know, like I said, what may work for you, Scott, won't work for me in the smoker or the process I do mine. So, but, you know, if Brad could take something that one little hint that I've told him or, you know, something I've done and make it work to his advantage, you know, more power to him. You know, I mean, I think it's great. And like I was telling you earlier, I don't know if you were on the air or not, Brad, but, you know, Scott was saying, you know, him and Mike had swapped a few little tips here and there, and, you know, it helped both of them out. So, you know, that's kind of like how we do it in barbecue world, you know. Just got a buddy or whatever that's struggling or needs a little help to do this. I mean, we all have to give each other a helping hand. So, but anyways, well, I just want to say congratulations again to Scott for wonderful grand up there in Dalton, and we'll see him in about 3 or 4 days. You going up Thursday or Friday, Scott?
Michael and I are going to talk where we can get in there together. I think we're either going to head up Thursday evening late or first thing Friday morning bright and early. I'm not sure yet. Mike and I think agreed to talk on about Tuesday or Wednesday, didn't we, Mike?
I don't think he's on the air anymore.
Okay, he might have had a call.
Yeah.
He's at the fire department on duty, so.
Okay, well, I thought I heard something in the background, so.
But I actually just rolled into a restaurant. Can I get out of here and just shout out for Southern Q and SouthernQSmokers.com? And, Jim, I appreciate you having us on, and enjoy talking with you. And anything we can do in the future, let's get together. And I look to have a good time with you guys this weekend. We'll have a drink together.
Okay, that sounds good. Too. I got to learn to drink faster with hot, but but anyway, yep. But Scott, be safe, buddy, and we'll see you up there Thursday night or Friday morning.
All right, thanks, Lang. Are you coming up this weekend?
Yes, sir. But it'll be Friday around lunch, hopefully. So
okay. Well, no, well, we can get together at least for a 7:07, or we'll have one Friday night, one of the two.
Yeah, Friday night sounds great. I look forward to it.
That works too. I'll see you guys then, and y'all have a good rest of the show. And anything we can do or I can do to help y'all, let me know.
All right, okay. I appreciate it, man. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you. Bye bye.
All right, bye bye. So you gonna head up Friday, Brad?
Yeah, we're gonna. Sandy's got to get off work around. She might get home around 9. I think it's 2.5 hours for me. You know. And,
yeah.
I'm trying to. This was her birthday weekend. Friday was her birthday, the 19th.
Oh, okay.
And of course, I was in Kentucky, and that's why I had to get off the phone earlier because I made her some crab soup tonight, and she came out here and she leaves about 8:00, 8:15, and she came out here and looked at me. Is it ready yet? And I knew that was my people inside and eat with her real quick. Yeah.
Friday was her birthday, and I called her Saturday. She was real happy or whatever. So, but I'm going to include them in my whole weekend and, you know, try to.
Well, we usually stay up. We usually stay up on Saturday night and go into Helen on Sunday and eat lunch and chill out for a couple hours and come on home, you know. It's not but about 12 miles from there.
Really?
So, you know, it's a little hop, skip, and jump. We'll go in there. We might spend 2 or 3 hours there, you know. We get there around 11 o'clock, leave by 2, and, you know, you're home by 4 or 5, you know, 5:30 anyway. So, you know, it makes for a nice little day, breaks it up, you know, go to a little shop and stuff. I always like reading the new T-shirts coming out. I think some of them are pretty hilarious. So that's my big thing. So, but yeah, we just kind of fiddle for a couple hours, and they got some unique stores up there and everything. We just like the little town itself. Grab us a nice lunch and head on back. So
I'm excited about it. I'm excited about my second weekend, kind of playing with the Butcher's products.
I can give you a little more insight on it too up there, and
it's prime dust. I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out here, but it's prime dust. I ordered it because I thought it was a rub, and
it actually goes into the injection.
Yes, sir, it does. but hey, it is also pretty damn good as a very light rub too. Let me tell you. Because I used it as a rub, damn it.
Yeah.
And then because I've already injected it. And anyway, I'll put a little bit of that on there. And I use it in my wrap also.
It is, I think if you talk to David, he's probably used it about every way you can. And I think he's even put it in as a marinade, you know.
Yeah.
And he put it in with his au jus and stuff. So, you know, the beef injection. Yeah, you know, the prime injection is actually the beef injection with the prime dust in it already. So a lot of people mix them together and stuff. And, you know, it's fine. By the way, you know, it tells you on directions, you know, with a 3/4 cup of that to about 16 ounces of water, 20 ounces of water. I mean, you can mix other things in with it. You know, you're not going to hurt it. But, you know, I like it. I mean, like I said, ever since I went back to it, it's been doing very well for me. And, you know, and if somebody's not doing so well on something, they haven't tried this product or any of his other products, they need to give it a shot. So I've really been blessed and been excited and about using some of his products, and I've had really good results. So, you know.
Do you ever use the sauce?
Do what?
Do you ever use the sauce at all?
The sauce? Not yet.
Yeah.
He sent me the sauce, but he's also got a hickory salt that he makes. And I just got my package in Saturday. I didn't have a whole lot of time to go through it because I was, you know, getting over to Jackson to the cook-off that Tony was doing. But I opened it up. It smelled very hickory smoked salt. So I'm going to try to do a practice cook this week, you know. I cook for Jamwiches, so, I use her customers as guinea pigs, so they don't mind it at all. But
what are your ideas for uses for that as far as the salt goes?
I think, you know, I think chicken and ribs are out of the question, but I'm going to have to try it on the pork. I think pork can handle the salt.
As a sprinkle before or after?
I'm going to try it both. I think I'm going to sprinkle it before. I'm going to use 2 butts. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to grind it down to a very fine powder and try to use it on and after and see how it works. But I will tell you my conclusion up there in White County and let you see. I'll have some ground up there. I kind of like to grind it fresh. Even if the rub sits there for a little while, you know, I'll take it and put it in the coffee grinder and grind it up. I think it freshens it back up, you know. I think it
It's more aromatics out of it, I know that.
Yeah, exactly. It breaks all that crust up that's formed and lets it back, you know, get back to its original flavor profile or whatnot. But yeah, I'm kind of excited about that stuff. I'm gonna try it. He told me a few little things to try it on and see how I like it and stuff. So I'm gonna do it. Like I said, it might be maybe on chicken. Might be able to get away with a little bit of it, but like I said, it's going to be an experimentation over the next couple of weeks with that. And I'm sure I'll be calling.
I don't think I'm going to put anything on my chicken.
Do what now?
I don't think I'm going to do anything to my chicken. I'm going to leave it just where
it's at. You need to stay with your chicken and, you know, keep riding that thing. Because like I said, chicken's one of the hardest ones to cook. Chicken and brisket are probably two of the hardest. Because the thing with chicken is the first thing they judge. So the palates are nice and clean. They're not oversauced, overheated, or oversweeted, or whatever. But chicken's, I think, is really the first true judging, you know, as far as everything's concerned, the more precise judging, I'll put it that way. And then when you get to brisket, you know, you've eaten two pieces of pork, and you get to brisket, it's kind of another, I guess, era in judging where, you know, it's a different type of meat. It's not pork. So
that's one thing I think about a lot is that 30-minute window. You know, have you ever judged a KCBS event?
I have not.
Let's do that one day soon. We need to do that because I'd really like to see. I mean, you know, the time it takes them to process our boxes and change stickers and get them in there. You know, are they done judging chicken when we turn the ribs in, usually?
Well, not in Myrtle Beach.
That's a lot of food to eat in 2 hours.
Well, if you think about it, you take one bite, you've got six pieces, four categories, that's 24 pieces. You take one bite, that's 2 ounces. What's 24 times
too much chicken?
That's 48 ounces of meat. That's 3 pounds of meat you eat in 2 hours. I mean, seriously, that's a lot of daggone food, you know? So, the experienced judges know to take just one small bite and judge it from that. That's why they say it's a one-bite contest. You know, if you've got, you know, X number of judges for chicken. If you have 48, say you have 20 teams, you need 80 judges to judge it. Wherever, you know, one set of judges chicken, one does the ribs. You know, to do it like that, you need 80 judges for a 20 team contest. Ain't gonna happen. So, you know, yeah, they even the little bitty girls that are, you know, the judges that are judging. It's amazing that they can eat that much food. So, I'm impressed. But, yeah, we talked about doing a judging class and going to judging a contest. I've already voiced my opinion on all that and probably made some enemies. But, you know, my theory on that is if you're going to judge, if you're going to compete, then I think you need to wait 2 months before you can compete after you get through judging. You know, in the back of my mind, I think it's glorified chigging. But on the other hand, it's, you know, I mean, that's my opinion. And I know I offend a lot of people, and I don't mean to, but, you know, as cooks, you know, you try somebody else's food and you don't like it, you can score it down. And, you know, we're more critical of the food than a lot of the other people. And, you know, I don't think I can do it subjectively. You know, the human nature is to compare. And
Danny,
I know
Kugel,
a lot of judges.
Danny Kugel is critical on some food. I'd hate to be judged by Danny Kugel. He took a bite of my chicken and my brisket and he threw it down. He threw it back at me.
Well, now my wife down there, man, and Boss Hogg spit my brisket out and I got fourth. I said, go spit the rest of the food out then, you know. I mean, she literally did. She said, that is awful. I said, well, it's already in the box. It's fine time now. But, but you know, we got fourth. Everybody's like, well, come over to my place and spit my food out. But, you know, it's a, you know, like I said, some people can be a little too objective. You know what I mean? They can be too critical.
Yeah.
And but you know, and I think you know a lot of other judges have said that the ones that scored the lowest are the ones that cook also. And you know, I mean, it'd be nice to do it, but I think you need to do one or the other. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, if you're on the table where you like one and you get the flavor profile down, you know, I don't think it's fair to the other teams to, you know, get a flavor profile down that you've been working on for so long and then somebody else tastes it knowing what it is or close to it, you know, then, you know, they kind of get your flavor profile.
But that's interesting. I mean, to hear, you know, I've always been against people teaching judging classes here in South Carolina or whatever. You know, there's a lot of teams that actually teach the judging class and then go out and compete the next weekend.
Right.
Has done that a lot, but you know, I've never looked at it from that point of view of, you know, being a cook and getting some flavor profiles. But I have always been kind of against, you know, somebody teaching a full-fledged judging class, which I've cooked for before, but you know, I've never actually got up and spoke and, you know, actually done the whole judging class and, you know, tell the judges what to look for. And well, somebody's got to do it, I guess. You know, you got to have somebody doing it, but, you know, a lot of the competitors get to do that in certain organizations or whatever. You know, I think
it's
done a little bit differently.
Well, in my opinion, I think it doesn't need to just be one. It needs to be two or three of them.
Yeah.
You know? So no matter, even if they use the same recipes, they're going to have a little bit different flavor profile. You know, a little bit different texture and all this other stuff. I mean, I'm not against teams cooking for that, but I think they need to, you know, do at least two or three of them so you don't know who's whose. You know? I mean, like I said, these are all my opinions. You know, for what it's worth. I mean, I know there's a few teams that agree with me, a lot of teams that disagree, but, you know, and the teams that most teams that do disagree, I mean, they see where I'm coming from, but, you know, they still want to judge. That was, well, you need to take a judging class and go judge a couple contests to see. I'd rather take somebody's class who's placing all over the place, spend my time and money there than time and money go judge the contest, because you know, you get to some judges and they say, man, the food wasn't good today. Well, you know, we're all comparative by nature, and it's kind of hard to decide what's good and what's not. And you know, if you're hitting on chicken, you know what your chicken tastes like, you go judge a contest and oh, there's matches yours, well, it's going to score crappy, you know. You know what your chicken scores, your flavor profile, and where you think it needs to be. I think with judging, if you're not cooking, you're more objective, and you kind of see where the whole group is going as far as flavor profile, not just looking for that one in particular one, you know.
Yeah.
One that just stands out above the rest. But like I said, that's my – I mean, I wouldn't mind taking the class and stuff. I know sometimes classes, the product that they turn out is not really competition quality. You know, it's let's get the four pieces of meat on there and, you know, cook it that way.
Yeah.
So I think it would be done more towards, you know, two or three. So, you know, no one team is pushed to do all the meat, you know. And they can do it the way they do it in competition and give it a more fair judging class, so to speak. And, you know, but like I said, I'm, you know, we all out there trying to improve, you know, everything that goes on. And KCBS is going to be, you know, watching the judges and where they score. And, you know, it's just like down there in Lyons, you know, I had all nines across the board and chicken in appearance, and I got a 6-7-7. I had 9-9-9, 9-8-9s all across the board, and I get a 6-7-7. And Wayland was the same way in ribs. He gets a 6-4-4. So, you know, when you get nines in appearance, you get a 6, you know.
Yeah.
I think that the team – I think the table captain should demand a comment card. That'll be mandatory. And, you know, that's my opinion. If you're going to score it that bad, then you need to write a card. If you're too lazy to write a card, then you need to score it up one or whatever. You know, when because it really deflates a team when they see that. They're like, well, why didn't he like it? I mean, I had all nines in appearance on my chicken. I got a six. That's just BS, in my opinion. So, yeah. You know, and you got so many judges out there.
I kind of changed my way of thinking of doing the, instead of trying to put perfect pork or perfect meat in the box or whatever, you know, just trying to, I try to use the thought or the word or whatever, excellent barbecue. You know, I always try to put excellent barbecue in that box. And if it's below a seven, if I don't get a nine or an eight, because I really want it to be excellent, you know, yeah, I want to know what was going on, why it was just average or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at it, you don't know if it was too salty or too sweet or whatever. Then after four or five contests, you keep getting those cards. I mean, you know, we're trying to cook, like I told several judges to cook with me and everything else, and they agreed. We're trying to cook the best barbecue for y'all. So if it's not the best, you got to tell us why you didn't like it. So then if we see a trend of it, we can tweak it, you know, and hopefully score better. We're trying to cook them the best barbecue, so we need some feedback from the judges. You know, in the past, they called it the cards, fish cards. I've gotten a lot of cards this year that says, you know, I got one up in Lawrence that said, I would travel 40 miles to buy these ribs. And then the next guy, two of them, gives me a 787 or some crap like that. And I'm like, oh, really? So, you know, as cooks, I always want some feedback, you know.
I want to see comment cards, especially when you get something sick. Because you got so many judges out there, too. It's like up here at the Banjo-Cube, I know some judges I talked to said one guy scored a pork mound to a six on appearance. And they said, why? So I don't see any pulled pork in there. Well, they don't have to put pulled pork in there. You judge the box for what's in there. He said, I am. Well, that ain't in there. Well, that's what I'm judging. It ain't in there. It's supposed to be in there. No, it's not supposed to be in there. He gave it a six. They don't, you know, some judges just don't get it. You know, you're not judging what's not in there. You're judging what is in there. And, you know, and you got some older judges that are just dead set in their ways. And hopefully KSBS is going to crack down on that. And it's not what you like. It's what, you know, what is actually in the box. You're judging the meat in the box. You're not judging the top of the box or anything like that. You know, if there's sauce on or whatever, you're judging the meat in the bottom of the box.
And I have proved something over the weekend. Oh, with my rib box, the sauce does not matter on top of the box.
No.
Because I got all nines in appearance, and, you know, when I shut the box, the ribs were touching the top of that son of a gun, so.
Well, that's the way it ought to be, and, you know, it was judged correctly, you know.
That was good to know for me, anyway. I mean, you know, I just.
Well, you had a good rep.
I knew that when I turned it in. I knew it when I turned it in, and
good.
I was.
Well, if you have some good reps, you know, they're going to emphasize most of the ones that, you know, we deal with, we know, and they're pretty adamant about that. You know, they're like, you know, we're not judging the top of the box, you know. You get that out of your mind. It's what's in the bottom, you know, the garnish and all that. That's what we're judging. We're not judging if they got some sauce on the top, whatever. Because, you know, boxes are different. Some are taller than others. Some of them are, you know, thinner. So, you know, especially with ribs, I mean, she got some nice, meaty ribs. I mean, it's virtually impossible to get them all in there, you know, without cuts.
Well,
the top.
Another thing that I really found interesting this weekend was I spent about, Terry McKay came over and watched me build all four of my boxes Sunday morning. I had them all done in like 9 minutes. And I did the same thing in Kentucky using green leaf lettuce. A real, real simple little green leaf lettuce spread. I mean, it takes me a minute to do a box. But all four of my boxes in Kentucky were green leaf lettuce boxes with no parsley, which, you know, that made me feel so much better. You know, I don't really worry about parsley anymore at all, or, you know, my garnishments. You know, I feel that my barbecue was judged good because I mean, I didn't spend a whole lot of time, like, you know, making sure it was all straight and, you know, perfectly around the box.
Right.
I see a lot of teams that spend a lot of time doing that, and I give them kudos for doing it. But, you know, I think it intimidates a lot of teams especially incoming teams, you know, messing with that parsley and whatnot. And, you know, I just like to let everybody, you know that, you know, you don't have to do all that.
There's a lot of judges, well, if you think about parsley, you know, it's got a flavor. So, you know, especially like with chicken and stuff, and you put it on that parsley and it sits on there for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever long it takes them. And, you know, they usually bite from the bottom to the top. First thing the tongue can taste is the bottom of the chicken that's been sitting on that parsley.
Yeah.
So it's going to change the flavor a little bit of the chicken.
That was a gold nugget that I got from Roger Wise, actually.
Well, he told me about it too.
Yeah, he's talking about picking all that parsley off the bottom of the chicken.
Yeah, and he said it pisses a lot of judges off. And the judges that I have trained had said the same thing. Like, why does everybody use parsley? You know, it takes us 5 minutes to pick that crap off. I said, because it's the norm, you know. I haven't gotten totally away from parsley, but I have gotten probably 90% away from parsley myself. And my parents' scores, I mean, they were really good before, and they have changed. They've probably, like you said, they've probably actually gone up a little bit. And, I mean, if you find some good, I'm not going to get wilted lettuce, but, you know, if you can find some really good green leaf lettuce, it will make a nice box. And it's a simple box. And, you know, and like you said, it takes 10 minutes to do four boxes and you're done.
Terry McKay was kind of pissed off. He was, I mean, he couldn't believe it. You know, I just built four boxes. And he didn't have any parsley. He didn't have any parsley, so I had to give him some lettuce this weekend, Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's like, what kind of box are you talking about building? And I showed it to him, and I built it, you know, pretty much. He went over and built his. And, you know, it takes a couple times to do it to where you can lay them in there and make them look perfect, but it don't take that long, a couple contests, and you got the hang of it if you just practice at home a little bit.
Yeah, you got the hang of it, and you can kind of make work the way you want it to work and be done with it. But, yeah, Roger Marsh has helped me out a lot over the last year and a half, so we're really good friends with him. I know you are, too. And it just goes, you know, to show you that, you know, there's people everywhere that help one another out. And, you know,
like
Rogers, I know, told you this, at the end of the day, you still have to cook the meat and present it right. So, you know, what I'm giving you is not a secret, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the way I do things. So, but, you know, that's what it's all about, family and friends, the extended family, and having some fun and meeting new people. And, you know, a lot of the new teams out there get a little intimidated by all these other big teams coming in with these big rigs and stuff. I mean, the only way you're going to meet these people, every one of them is pretty much down to earth and, you know, can take a new team under his wing, so to speak. And, you know, like if you're doing this and this and this, and they'll say, well, you're doing this wrong. I mean, then you can take it with a grain of sand and, you know, and go use it. And, you know, but you need to get out and do some fellowship with some of these other teams and talk to them, you know, just talk smoking or the barbecuing or whatever. And, you'd be surprised how many friends you can make in just a couple contests. So, you know, I was a little intimidated when I first went over there, but, you know, one man who just passed recently really made me feel at home in the barbecue world was Papa Sam. And I made him down at Boss Hog my first contest, and they were a staple every year. And, you know, they were a big team. You know, they were winning a lot and knew a lot of teams. And, you know, he just made you feel welcome. He was actually the first team that really came over and said something. So, you know, I'll usually talk to some other teams. I take the backyards under my wing, and we become good friends. So that's what it's all about, brother.
So let's talk about the rest of the year for a minute. I guess let's get December out of the way. December, you got anything going on in December?
December, I don't know if I'm going to do Calhoun. And,
I don't believe is there any KCBS events in December other than California?
I don't know if there's not.
I don't believe so.
They've got the smoking up in Spartanburg with SBN. I don't know if they're going to have that this year or not. They're kind of up in the air about that. But, you know, I usually take a little bit of time on December. It's
duck season, and you know, I didn't miss opening day of deer season for 30 years until I started barbecuing. So that tells you anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, what you got planned for December?
Perry, FBA event though.
Where at, Perry?
Yeah, Perry Farm.
Where's that at? You did pretty well in that last year, didn't you?
No, Shelby's making me hang up the telephone and just sick.
She's done talking.
I'm not done talking, baby.
Bye bye.
Well, that was Brad Kay from Lang Smokers. Hopefully he'll make it back out of there live. This is Jim Berg from Killer Bees from Evans, Georgia, talking on Barbecue Superstars. If you have not joined Barbecue Superstars, you need to. Daryl Mass is leading the way, leading a revolution in barbecue, and he's out there to work for the teams, and so let's show him a little support. He's supporting us. So let's make sure we go and join Barbecue Superstars. There's several different levels, and get your name out there. He'll do videos, and he does sponsorships and all this other stuff, you know, for people who want to sponsor teams. So get in touch with Daryl Mass, BarbecueSuperstars.com, and let's keep the revolution going. I also want to give a shout-out to Scott Smith and Brad Kay for both of them winning grands this weekend. Congratulations to them. Also to Mike Moore. He's taken two reserve grands in a row. Congrats to him on Southern Q Smokers. And I also want to give a shout-out to Royal Oak Charcoal. Like I said, it's a very premium product, and we use it exclusively in our TNT Southern Q Smoker for Killer Bees Barbecue. Great stuff, really great stuff. I also want to thank David Buska for sponsoring us from Butcher Barbecue. You really need to try their injections and everything. Give him a call. He will actually answer his phone and talk to you. And I also want to give a shout-out to Greg McCauley down at Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills. And Brad Kay has made it back on air alive.
It's bath time, man. It's bath time. Yeah, big shout-out to Fireside Grills because they, you know, I stopped there Thursday, and I got everything I needed to win that contest in Kentucky from Fireside. I think it was Wednesday, I guess, and I got it from Butcher's Products Thursday, so, you know, I was armed.
Where else can you go somewhere in somebody's hometown and get a selection of competition quality rubs and marinades and sauces and everything in Fireside? You know,
if
we came on board.
If they had your wood there, I wouldn't have to go anywhere else.
And he does carry it out back, but he uses it. But I'm saying, I mean, it's a one-stop shop. I mean, if you're a competitive barbecuer and you're around the Augusta area, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to have what you need down there just walking to the store. You don't have to order anything. You walk in and pick it up. You know, he's put several samples out there on the counter for you to taste and stuff, and does a really good job. And
if anybody's coming in from out of town to cook at a contest, I mean, you could fly in with nothing and go to the grocery store, go to Fireside, rent a grill, get all your spices and everything else, and come compete with us in Evans or anywhere around here because he rents those grills too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got high-end competition grills down there, and he'll rent them to you. So, I mean, you can – and he's got to have something you use on your chicken or whatever on your meat products. So, I mean, it's a one-stop shop. It's got pellets, charcoal, everything you can think of down there.
Yeah, the winning chicken rub. The winning chicken rub is there somewhere on that shelf.
Well, that narrows it down to about 50. So, but anyways, it was good talking to you tonight, Brad. And
y'all have a great night. And thanks for having me home three times. I appreciate it.
Congratulations again, buddy. I know you're on cloud nine.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
I'll see
Bye-bye.
You Wednesday.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to cut the show off, and we're going to be heading up to White County, Georgia to compete in that contest, the Hillbilly Hog Throwdown. And hope see a lot of my friends up there, and everybody be safe traveling to no matter what contest you're going to. And let's just keep let's just keep on queuing. Y'all have a good weekend, and we'll see y'all next Monday. Thanks for having me.